Welcome to another episode of Butterfly Evolution, where our goal is to encourage, empower, and enlighten those who are dying to live. Thank you again for joining Tammy and I on another show of Butterfly Evolution. Our show tonight is What is Holding You Back from Moving Forward? We have several strongholds that continue to hold us back. Like fear is one of the major ones, but we have several things that we want to try and share with you about moving forward. So one of the first things I want to ask tonight is, are you happy? Are you happy with where you are in life? Are you happy with the choices that you've made in life? Are you happy with this journey that you've taken in life? And if your answer is no, I'd like to ask you, why aren't you happy? Or do you even recognize what is keeping you from experiencing happiness? One thing that I would like to share and help you to realize is that you can't conquer what you don't recognize. Have you become complacent with a mere existence? Have you become accustomed to making indignant remarks about life in general? If so, tonight our decision is to help you to make a definite decision on choosing to live with a new purpose. So if you have a desire to experience freedom, you must first recognize what's keeping you from obtaining this freedom, and that the world that seems to hold you captive or prisoner can be escaped if this is what you desire, solely desire. So there's a lot of doors that we don't have to walk through. And I'd like to share with you and help you to understand that every door is not a door for you to walk through. However, you do make the choice whether or not you want to walk through the door of freedom or the door of adversity. So tonight, again, our show is called What's Holding You Back?
Okay, thanks, Tika. And this is Tammy, and I just want to say it is what's holding you back, and we'd like to put emphasis on, you know, when your past is hurting your future. And tonight's show, every show that we did in researching for this particular topic the last few days, all of the shows that we've did thus far, to me, seems to just tie into what keeps us in bondage, what keeps us from moving forward, those things that Satan loves to just put in our minds and put in our hearts that we cannot overcome because we are this, we are that, we come from this family, from this type of family, from this situation. And Satan likes to isolate us, everybody, from our children to our parents to our grandparents. He is just taking a hold on people in general. And it is really time for us to live in the power of God's word. I don't feel like we're doing that. So tonight, it is our hope, it is our desire to empower you, to encourage you, to uplift you to a new place of understanding of where you are in your life. Everybody has a past. Everybody has struggles. Everybody has things that they've gone through. Everybody has something that they want to tell, but they do not out of fear of what will they think of me? What will they say? Who will they tell? When you get to a point, I was sharing with my cousin, when you get to a point of freedom in Christ and freedom in the Lord and know that God knows me, he knows my heart, he knows my past, he knows my present, he knows my future. When you get to that point and you love on yourself and you like yourself, what someone says, does, or think about you really becomes irrelevant. We talked last week's show about humility. You are okay with sharing what you're going through, what you've gone through, and you look forward to even sometimes struggles in your life because it's another opportunity for God to show up in your life and for you to be a testimony and bring glory to God. So, again, that I hope that someone's empowered and encouraged to look at their life and determine where they are in their life opposed to where they want to be. Set yourself some goals, you know, a week, a month, a year. Set a goal after determining what things you're holding on to that keeps you from moving forward. So, again, I hope that you've thought about your past and what things have really hurt you. Those things that you keep going back to, people that have hurt you, you keep going back to that person, what they did. You know, it's time to let it go. You don't take a car to the junkyard and wonder, did somebody buy it? What did they do with the parts? It doesn't matter. It's not yours anymore. It's over. It's done. So I'm hoping that, again, someone will just be empowered tonight. I was watching a program this weekend, and I cannot remember the name of the program because I just added this in today, and I said that a little bit earlier, about loving yourself. And that's what—that's one of the things that we hope that you take or you start to incorporate in your life so that you can eliminate those things that are keeping you from loving yourself. And we're going to give you a list of things tonight that we put a few of them out on the site, but we're going to name some of those things or give you some of those things that you may—it may be familiar to you just to hear them again of some of the things that keeps us in bondage, okay? We want to thank everybody because tonight is football night, of course, and again, we're not losing to football season, so I am grateful for the repeat listeners. I see Tasha is out again. We have some new numbers, some that I'm not familiar with, so we do have some new listeners, but I'm thankful for those who continue to come in because that shows that you are getting something, number one. You are looking for a change, and you are putting in the work to change because it takes a lot to tune in to this show every night. And so we are thankful that you chose Butterfly Evolution over Monday Night Football. Remember, if you are listening online, you can, and I do need to open up the chat line, so I'm sorry about that. You can send us your comment or question by way of chat. You do need to be registered as a follower of the show in order to do that. And you can, for those of you who are listening on the phone or by phone, remember to select the number one if you are wanting to ask a question or make a comment. And just for the record, I think a lot, in talking with people, I think a lot of people get confused or they're getting confused about calling in, using the number to call in. Some people think if they call in, and I believe Teek and I have said this a number of times, but sometimes it just doesn't click. If you call in, it does not mean we are bringing you on air. So some people are not okay with talking, and that's okay. And so they're not calling the number or didn't call the number because they thought that they would have to talk. We were going to put them on. That means they're online, and we don't bring you online unless you select the number one. If you don't have a comment or a question, you do not have to do anything other than dial that number and listen, okay? We want to announce the winners of the book that we were going to give away, and that's the book from Erica Murray, Becoming the CEO to the Power of You. If we have new listeners and you did not listen to that show, remember all of our shows are archived. You can go back and listen to any show. I just recently had a friend that did that this weekend and just so enjoyed it and said that she was going to go back and listen to each one of them because she works at night and she's not able to listen from work. However, but we have the winners of the show, and this is not one of those shows where our family members can't win because if you play the game and your name is pulled or selected, then you're the winner. So I am happy to say that my son Brandon is one of the winners. I don't know if he'll read this book, but I'm going to try to make him read it. 23, I don't know how much making I can do anymore. Stacy is another winner, and Latasha. And I was so happy because Latasha, as most of you have heard me say, she's always our first caller in queue and has never missed a show. So I am so glad. If she had not won, I think I would have sent her a book anyway. So I will connect with each and every one of you. I or Tika will connect with you after the show. And we'll figure out a way to get the books to you because none of you are near us, so you're actually in different states. But we will work that out. Okay, Tika, do you want to go on into your topic part first so I can start?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I wouldn't mind. I wanted to ask, with what's holding you back, the one thing that is something that I ask myself, and I want you to stop and ask yourself as well on what's holding you back, ask yourself that honest and sincere question, what is holding me back? And what I wound up asking myself was, and to share with you, is do you ever stop to think that perhaps, because this is what I said to myself, am I out of alignment with God's will? So do you ever stop to think that perhaps you may be out of alignment with His will? could this chaos be the result of my doing, my choices, my way? For me, the answer was yes. But now I finally recognize that this situation and the situation that I wound up going through, I had to realize that I had to take responsibility for my part in that. I was quick to point the finger. I was quick to call myself a victim. I was quick to do everything, but I never took full ownership of my part. I had to own my part. I'm at a place now to where I have owned my part, and by me doing this, God has, and I have asked God to take and remove the blinders, remove the clouds, remove this veil over my eyes that's stopping me from being able to see and understand clearly my part in my life. And I wound up realizing that I was out of alignment with his will. When I was younger, I didn't realize. I thought that you just get to pick what you want to do, and you just pray and ask God for it. And I mean, very young, 13, 14, you just pray and ask God for it, and that's what happens. I didn't truly understand what it meant to be aligned with his will, meaning that he has placed me on this earth for a purpose. And until I line up with his purpose, any little thing I jump in and out of, it is not going to always go the way I plan for it to go, because I'm not in alignment with his will. And sometimes that takes years. That is something that can take years. I also wind up asking myself another question. Now that I've taken ownership for my life, my situation, everything I've gone through, the new question has become, now what? Because I've asked God to help me to have a new mind and a right mind. There's not a lot of positive things, constructive things, better things you can do when you're dealing and when you still have that same old mind. So we said in shows before, you have to have a renewed mind, and a renewed mind is not something you can create on your own. So when I ask the question, and when I keep putting, you know, saying it's me, but this is something I want you to do as well, when I said, now what, the now what was, what do I need to do in order to become productive and move forward? In doing this, I realized that this wasn't the time for me to dwell on all the things that I couldn't change. And I can honestly tell you, I dwelled for over 10 years. I dwelled for over a decade on all the things I didn't do right, the things I wish I had done, the things that I want to do over, the things I want to rewind. I want it do over, do over, do over. But what I want to share and what I want to help you to realize is that we can't even change the last 5 minutes. It is gone. The last 5 minutes is completely in the past. We can't redo it. We can't change not one single solitary thing about 5 minutes ago. So why dwell on what happened 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years ago, whether it was done to you or whether we did it? Moving forward is impossible when you dwell on the problem, the trial, the adversity, the situation, or the crisis. So in order to let it go, we have to let it be. And one thing I do want to put emphasis on is that I'm in no way, shape, or form dismissing or belittling anything that may have taken place in someone's childhood that you had absolutely no control over, something or circumstance happening to you. And if this be the case, I'll give you my number in order for you to personally call me, and I'll be a prayer partner with you and go to God on your behalf and seeking healing for you of this childhood trauma. Because first of all, I want you to know that we are not in this alone. We are in this together. We are one in healing each other. And so I cannot be healed and whole knowing that someone out there that I'm able to help bring to wholeness as well is not there as well. Where I receive wholeness by helping someone else to receive wholeness. So what I give back, God gives to me. So if I help to heal you, that creates more healing in me. And that's the way it works with all of us and with everyone. So in order to become whole and live a life that's intended for you, healing is needed. I'd like to also share with you how, through preparing for the show, I recognize my present stronghold. In praying and asking God to renew my mind and help me to become a new person in Christ, I thought that I let go of so many things in my past with my depression and everything, but I didn't realize that a new stronghold came out of what I thought was my healing process, but something new happened. I recognized for a while now, but it was something that I still put on the back burner because I just figured this is not a big problem. And even though I had a couple of people tell me, especially one lady that I truly respect and admire, you know, for the person that she is, I just figured this is what I need to do. But I began going through a divorce about 5 years ago. So I've been divorced 4 years. But when I began going through my divorce, my daughters were 10, 7, and 6. Now, though this was a very disturbing moment for me, I was distraught the whole time I was going through my divorce. And what I wound up doing was I began telling myself how I failed my kids as a mother. I failed in so many ways. So more than anything, I wanted to try to make up for what I had in my mind, a wrong mind, not a right mind. How can I not continue to fail my children? So with the mindset that I have, this wasn't a healthy mindset, but a distorted mindset from a woman who suffered from clinical depression. So like I said, I wasn't functioning with the same reasoning mind. My answer became give them as many yeses as possible and give them as few noes as possible. Overcompensate on everything. When they would come and tell me that daddy said no, I made sure I said yes. It didn't matter what it was about. And this is not good. What overcompensated, by me overcompensating, I was letting slide where I shouldn't have been letting them slide. I was letting them slide in the way that they were respecting me. The way that I taught them to respect me, they were slipping in that, and I was allowing it. I'd reward them with movies or would stay in the night with their friends after they'd repeatedly disobeyed me by not completing chores, not doing what I asked, not, you know, cleaning their room, turning the TV off, getting to bed in time, whatever it was that I asked them, even though they were slipping from all the areas of discipline that I was trying to do, it didn't matter. I could say no video games, give me your phone, no playing outside. But soon as they would give me that little look or start crying about something that was going on, and I promise you, children will learn the areas of where they can manipulate you because they are just that smart. And I was smart enough to know that they were, but the bottom line was, since I had in my mind that their childhood was ruined by me, all I wanted to do was just try to make them smile as much as I possibly could, not realizing that I was making a mess. And when I tell you, when you're praying and asking God to help give you a new mind and place you in a new place in life and to make better choices and to be aligned up with his will, when I made this choice to no longer think or be used in this way and to live according to his will and his plan, it's something that all areas of your life have to be lined up. All areas of your life have to be placed in order. And even though I still knew that I was overcompensating in areas, that's areas where I began to have feelings of conviction because I knew that I need to bring this in order as well. All areas must be lined up accordingly. There's no way to strive to get in order what's out of order. When you know things are out of order, you can't just try to ignore them and put them on the back burner. No, everything has to be on one accord together or it's all out of accord. So I could no longer run from this. I had to deal with it. And to be honest, I did not want to deal with it. So what I'm trying to say is my job is to send my daughters out into the world prepared, well-organized, prepared for life and what it's supposed to do. So for Janae, Aubrey, and Jolie, I wasn't doing that. And overcompensated, realizing how much I was overcompensated, this is something now that God is bringing clear to my eyes that he will help me to get in order and get my kids back in order so I can send them out into the world the way he has intended for me to mother them. And so that's my part on what my new stronghold has been.
Okay. Thanks, Tika, for sharing. What I want to do is remind you all two things. And I did list this out on the Blog Talk radio, the description of the show. There are two things when we're holding on to our past hurt and pain, and you could have one or both of these. For me, it was both of them were true for my life. And this is remorse or regret over something done by you, okay? And again, that's regret or remorse over something done by you. Basically, you are a victim of your own choices, so to speak, that you've made some choices, and remember they say what goes around comes around. And sometimes we just need to know that what's coming around, and I'm not saying that's the case all of the time, but there are some things that we reap because of what we've sown. And I had to come to a place of realization for that in my life. So that's one of the things, remorse or regret over something done by you, or bitterness or fear caused by something done to you. And as Tika related on childhood pain and past, you know, pains from childhood, those are things that, some of the things that you as a person or a person has no control over. There's been things done to people or things or situations that people have gone through that they've never been able to release. I mean, period. I think, well, I did share with you all, you know, my grandmother, the fear of going to the doctor because of seeing what she went through. You know, and if had that been addressed and dealt with, if people will talk more, but see, we're walking around as if everything is okay. There's no pain here. My life is perfect. I don't fear anything. I'm not afraid of anybody. I'm not afraid to love. I'm not afraid of being hurt. Nothing really matters when we are really, really not okay. So we need to talk more. We need to talk to our children more. So I want you, as you go about through your weeks, or even tonight, if you all have something to share, if you've had some strongholds that you now realize or have realized that you've overcome, allow us to hear, allow the audience to hear, what did you do to make the change? What helped you to recognize? Because sometimes tragic things have to happen sometimes to shake us and to get us out of that zone. Tika and I often share with each other, and we do it kind of in a joking, lightning way, that our grandmothers are up sitting, you know, with God saying, oh, God, please, just one more opportunity, one more chance. They will get it right this time. And I really do believe that there are some prayers that God promised and that will answer on behalf of my grandmother in my life. And I told Tika, I said, I could hear God saying, we could do this my way or your way, but it's going to come to pass. Whatever it is that I have you to do, it is going to come to pass. And not just for my deceased grandmother, my grandmother who's living, my mother, dad, uncles, those people who love me. So whomever, I know that people pray for me as people pray for you. So as you go about your life, think about the things that you have regret for, that you've caused, that you think you've caused in your life. And then think about the things that you had no control over. And it has to come to a time where you decide and realize that happiness is a choice just as unhappiness is. We talked on the show about, and I believe this was in Why Can't I Get Him to Go to Church, and it may have been another show as well, about how much control we do have over our emotions and our decisions to do things or to not do things. And we brought up the example of a husband and wife or whomever, whatever situation you want it to be, but I'll use a husband and wife, and I think we did on that show as well. If they're in a heated argument and the pastor calls on the phone, and with caller ID, you know, you're able to know who's calling now. Well, if you're in a heated conversation at that time to the point where you're yelling at the top of your lungs and you've become this different person, so to speak, to your spouse, and whomever, whether it's the wife or the husband that answers the phone, if they go from being Mr. or Mrs. Evil to, hi, Pastor, how are you? They've just controlled their emotions and their feelings, and they've made a choice to be someone else at that time. So why can't we do that with the things that have hurt us? And I know it's hard. I stand before you or sit before you today, and there's still things that I have to get through and work through as well. But we have to share those things in order to get over those things, because once you put it out, then Satan can no longer use it against you. And again, we talked about being in isolation. That's Satan's territory. He wants to get you to feel like this is only you going through this. This has never happened to anybody else. If you share this, they will say this or they will do that or they will think this of you. Well, we mentioned at the beginning of the show, when you get to a place of freedom and knowing who you are in Christ and who you are as a person, liking you regardless of your past, your pain, your present, your future, when you say, okay, God, I am yours, order my steps, allow me to, or put on my heart to be obedient and follow you, follow your steps, whatever that may be, wherever that may lead me. It's kind of like I, you know, you totally surrender. When you get to that part, to that place, and have that in your heart and your mind and your life, what people think, what people say, what people do, again, does not matter. And that may sound harsh and unchristian-like. If you want to change the wording to fit a Christian life and say that it doesn't matter, then say that it does not hinder you. It does not stop you. It does not keep you from moving forward. Because when you get to a point where you can't do something because of your past, and I want to share some stories with you, but we also want to remind you that if you're listening and you do want to make a comment or a question, go ahead. The lines are wide open, and we do want to hear from you guys. We want to hear what you've gone through and what strongholds have, or what from your past has kept you in bondage, so to speak. I want to share a story. And again, select number one, if I see you come in or if we see you come in, we'll just stop in our conversation and allow you to share your part. I want to share just a few things that could be something you or someone in your family could be holding on to. Rejection in childhood. Feeling inadequate around your family or friends, feeling like a failure or an outcast, suffering abuse of any kind, and we need to recognize that abuse is not just physical. So if you suffered abuse, I think emotional abuse is worse than physical abuse because, again, you heal for the most part on the outside, but sometimes people can say things to you that will stop you from moving anywhere. It will, because you're so hurt by words. Words cut like nothing from my understanding. Being an unwed mother, giving up a child for adoption. These are, again, things that just could keep one in bondage. Having an abortion, living with a demanding or controlling spouse, being deceived by a loved one. And I think a lot of us can relate to that with divorce and with people being so afraid to love or to attempt to love. I think so many of us think that we are loving properly, but loving from with our hands out, you know, only so far. Because if my past relationship failed, if that person was able to do me this way, then what would make you any different? So that's probably one that we all could relate to. Undergoing separation or divorce. It's another one that's a most popular thing, with the divorce rate being what it is today. And enduring the loss of a loved one, a family member or a friend. Suffering from lost dreams. A lot of us have put our dreams on the back burner, and we have a yearning and a passion for some of those things. And a lot of us are doing things that we were never supposed to do. God has given us things in our life. Our passion, the things that we love. You always hear people say, find out what you love to do and what you will do for free and try to do that, try to come as close to doing that as possible. So I think a lot of us kind of are just weary. We're getting up, going to work, coming home, cooking, doing those chores, preparing to go back and do the same thing the next day. And we've just kind of lost that fire in our life. Having an unfaithful spouse is another thing. Attempting suicide. We talked about suicide last week. Being raped. I know that's one that really, you know, kind of keeps people in bondage, women in bondage, being raped. Going through an adulterous affair. And again, that could be you are on whichever end, the opposite end, or you're the doer of the affair. Living with a drug or alcoholic addiction. So those are just a few things, and there's a lots more listed, but I won't go into all of those. But those are just a few things that you may want to just think about as you go about your way. And it does not mean those things have to fit your life. However, there are some things that we've mentioned, I'm sure that everybody can apply or see that in their own life, okay? So those are just a few things. I want to share a story with you, and again, the lines are wide open. We're just going to keep going until we see someone pop in and go from there. But I want to share a story with you that started this past weekend as I was preparing for the show. And I was a little late this week in doing it because last week was just really, really busy. So I prepared Friday night, got all of my books, got ready for bed, it was actually 7 books, and decided to pick up one of the books. And for whatever reason, I started in chapter 7 opposed to chapter 1. And this is a book that I purchased about 2 to 3 weeks ago while I was out going to yard sales. So it wasn't a book that I knew anything about or had heard of the author, but I picked it up just a few weeks ago and want to share the title of it with you. It's From Panic to Power by Lucinda Bassett. And before we end the show, I'd like to give out several of the books that helped me through this process, and I'm sure Tika can give you where she picked up some of her information from as well. But again, the name of that book is From Panic to Power by Lucinda Bassett. And I picked up the book, and like I said, it started in chapter 7. Not really sure why, but I just wasn't led to start at the beginning. So chapter 7, I started. And it starts out by this lady sharing in a letter to the author about her sense of how she was. She found a letter that she had wrote prior to taking a program offered by this author of this book. And in this letter, she determined, or she saw how lost she was back then. So in this letter, she was explaining to the author of she could not believe how she was back then and the things that she allowed in her life. And she just went on and on. She said, she continued to just be in bondage and fear. She let people walk all over her. Her views and her problems just took control over her. But after going through this program and deciding that she was going to make a change in her life, and remember we talked about CEO of the Power of You a couple of shows ago, she just decided that she was no longer going to let people's opinion of her matter in her life. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. She was less concerned about how they thought. She was proud of her own opinions, her own thoughts, her own dreams. She had self-confidence. And these are things that she worked to get. And that's why we say change takes work. So she talked about feeling more in control of her life, and she deals with life more realistically. But most of all, she said, I'm no longer afraid of my thoughts. Okay? So, again, we have to, just like I said, happiness is a choice. So is unhappiness. We have a choice. I mentioned on a couple of shows back that I sometimes have to say, Tammy, I'm not going there with you today. A thought can come in my mind from nowhere. A friend of mine shared this with me that she said, I can be happy. I can get up and go to the grocery store. And somewhere in between leaving the house and going to the grocery store, and I come back and I just sob. It could be from her seeing something that she wished she had. It could be anything. And so she literally has to talk herself out of that situation. And Tika talked about renewing your mind. You really have to make a decision to renew your mind, and you have to do that almost minute after minute for some of us. So don't be afraid to challenge yourself. Challenge your own mind. But this, Tika, do you have anything?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Tika talked about her being a parent and saying yes all the time. I think that's a good scenario and a good topic, a good thing to bring up in this conversation, because look at how she got to that point. She said she felt like she wasn't a good parent. She had failed as a parent. She had failed her girls. But in doing so, now she's trying to compensate in a sense, failing them again, in a sense. Not saying that she failed them before, but failing by not giving them structure and things, always saying yes, because that's the worst thing we could do. And that's something that we talk about a lot. I used to call mine guilty parenting. And I used to share with friends, please don't fall into that. Because, again, I saw that in my own parenting, sometimes with Brandon, that you get into this guilty parenting where you feel like, well, I didn't give him this and I didn't give him that, and he doesn't have this and he doesn't have that. And you start trying to compensate by being a little light places where you would normally, in your right self and your right mind, and as you could say, you know, in line with God, you'd be like, no, and that's it. And we talked about, if you remember, in divorce, we talked about the sales, the toy sales. This is the number of toys that are sold when divorce is taking place. When the divorce rate is high, the number of sales or the toy sales, they escalate. They go up. And when I first saw that, I thought, that doesn't make sense. But it basically said that parents, grandparents, and whomever else, they buy these kids things to compensate for what they feel like they're taking away from them. So I'm just saying this to get you to start thinking about what choices we make, what we do when we're not so complete and not so whole inside, and we keep it inside. We don't take it, even sometimes, before the Lord. I think one of the most freeing things for me, somebody told me, and it's not that I didn't know it, but sometimes people just need to tell you your stuff. They need to say, look, Tammy, this is what it is. But you know, and this was not a big, big thing, but to me it was so profound when, and it's probably going to sound so crazy to you guys, but when they said, you know, God knows everything about you anyway. Why do you not go take everything before the Lord? And I remember thinking, y'all shouldn't have told me that, because, you know, there's so many things you think I just don't want to pray about that. I don't want to go to God for that. Who else do we go to? Why not? And so now I just get this thing where y'all have let the wrong person know that we can take everything before God, because he really does get it all. Not that he doesn't know anyway, but it's something about being able to go before the Lord and say, hey, Lord, I'm struggling with this. I know this is not what you would have me to do. I know this is not, you know, your way, but Lord, I want to do better. I desire to be better. And we can free ourselves and go take those things before the Lord. Take your hurts, take your past, take your pain, take your fears, take your strongholds. Take them before the Lord. And like they used to say, leave them at the altar. And not that this is about the altar, but I think we need a lot more altar time today in churches and in our homes as well. So to take this story a little bit further, and guys, don't forget, because Tika and I don't want to just talk the show over or take it over with our own stuff, because we bring you enough of our stuff from Monday after Monday. But just to take it a little bit lighter, as I was preparing, again, for the show, I got those 7 books out, and I picked the one and started in the 7th chapter for whatever reason. And the young lady that wrote the story, wrote this short story to this author, just explaining how much she had grown, I finished off reading that part, and just as I was getting ready to read the second part, I got a phone call, and I hesitated on taking the phone call because this is a person for me that has become a very negative person in my life. It's just hard. It's becoming harder and harder to have conversations that motivate me, so to speak. It's always something's wrong, something's not right. If you do this, not right, you should do it this way, and so forth. So I hesitated on picking up my phone, but because I had just kind of ignored several calls, I decided, well, I need to probably just get it over with. And I answered the phone, and again, I was just about to start the second chapter in this particular book, in the 7th chapter, and we had a conversation. We was having a, you know, general conversation, and the show came up. The Butterfly Evolution show came up, and Erica Murray came up, and so we were discussing some things that Tika and I are hopeful that we're able to do with Erica in the near future, and so we were talking about that, and it's a very positive thing. But this person, instead of saying, you know, I think that's great, you know, this and that, it was totally opposite. It was, well, why don't you do this, and why are you doing it that way, and why are you doing it for these people, and why are you not doing it for this age? It was just, and it totally got me off track for just a minute, long enough for me to grab my computer and start typing about how I was feeling about his response to something so positive. And I wrote just a brief sentence or two so that I would remember to do more research on it in my own heart and then hopefully share it on the show. Well, I did that, and so I thought, and as a way to eliminate my mind from going there with this person, I'm just going to continue to read my book. I'm going to start on my second chapter. Paragraph in the seventh chapter. I'm just going to start and let this person talk, and I'm going to keep reading my book silently. So I did that, and these are these times where I'm just in awe about how God, again, like I told you, I had the seven books. Don't know why I really picked those books, the books, and then I started in the seventh chapter. And here I am, the young lady that wrote this, the chapter prior, who was explaining to this author, her name was Tammy. She finished it off, and she just signed it as Tammy. The next chapter, as soon as I started to read to get my mind off of what this person was saying, the next chapter goes into talking about you have to keep people in your life that are positive, that can encourage you, that can help you do things that you know, that bring about your passion and all of these things. So I was just in awe for the timing of that. But this author of the book that I just shared, From Panic to Power, in this particular chapter that I started to read, she talks about being at a conference with a friend in a hotel. The conference was over, and she talked about sharing with her friend that I want to write a book, but I just don't know how. I don't think I can. I don't think I should. I don't have the funds. She went on and on and on about why she could not write the book, but she wanted to. So this friend tells her, let's go to the lobby. They go to the lobby, and she talks about this friend saying, okay, here you go. Start writing the book. And because of that, I was Friday night holding this book in my hand, getting a message from it, to me, a true visit from God. It was true confirmation for me because God knew exactly how I was feeling about taking that call, knew exactly how I would feel after taking that call, and just allowed me to be in that place where he could just put a stop to it and remind me of all the things we've been talking about in this show, you know, from fear to keeping people in our lives that support us, encourage us, and all those things. So it was because of that friend saying, you can do this. You can do this. And so if you are a friend, if you are a mother, if you are a father, a sister, and you have people that you can encourage, be mindful of what you are telling them. We talked about in the show, you need to realize what people in your circle, how they think and what they talk about. And we mentioned, I think, Tegan, last week's show or the show before that, if you're an alcoholic and you're trying to get over alcohol, you don't hang with people that are addicted to alcohol, not if you truly want to get through your addiction. So if you're trying to change your mindset, as Tika said, you're trying to renew your mind, then you might need to start with the people that are around you, if they are not those positive people. I remember someone sharing, and I think Tika and I shared this on the show as well, that Will Smith says that when he gets to be the smartest person in his circle, he moves on. He goes to another circle. Doesn't leave those people behind, but in moving on, you allow someone else to grow to that spot. So there's nothing wrong with picking and choosing the people in your life. And just as you pick and choose your food, you know, we have people that just choose to eat healthy. I wish I was there working on it. But you got to realize the words that you allow people to put in your life, the things that you allow them to talk on you, you know, to speak in your life, you have to be careful of those things. And because they will become your past. Remember, we talked about those words that can cut. You know, what people say to you, it sticks. It sticks. Be mindful what you are telling your children, what you're encouraging them to do or not to do, because sometimes you're setting limitations for them that will last a lifetime. So be mindful of those things. I feel like I'm talking too much, so I wish someone would press number one. or Tika, you may have some
more. I wanted to, just in what I was talking about, how I realized how I was overcompensating for my girls, that feeling, that knowing, you know, just that conviction feeling, but that feeling of knowing, it's like the more that I began giving them, and I believe I really began to notice it, because I've been doing it for a long time. I've been divorced for 4 years now, but it began to almost be intensified once I moved here, and I don't know what created, I know I'm in a different environment, but I can't place my hand right on what exactly it was that really made it be intensified. It was like times 10, times 20. It truly, truly grew in what I realized I was doing. It was so vivid in my mind, in realizing that my job is to send my girls out into this world prepared. But the only thing I realized that I was actually teaching them was preparation to fail. Because no matter what, I was able to see the world will not compensate for my girls. And what in the world am I doing to my girls on purpose? I'm hurting them. I'm not setting my priorities straight as a mother. And I'm hurting my girls. And I'm getting ready to send them out into a world unprepared. And what I also realized was I had to stop and ask God to help me, help correct me in this wrong way of parenting and set me on the right course that will benefit my daughters, because I want to prepare them to excel to their highest ability. But I wind up realizing that in church Sunday, I'm attending a fellowship church, and Pastor Ed Young, when you begin to ask God for something, you will get his confirmation. And we started a new series. The series is called Run to the House. And I didn't know that the series was going to be on parenting. But when I sat in church yesterday hearing Run to the House, run to his house, so I'll know how to run my house, I didn't know that I was going to have a whole lot of confirmation on what it was that I'm presently dealing with at this exact moment in my life. His message was about the parent's role. The parent's role is to be the teacher. You're to teach your children. And you're to stop and sit back and ask yourself, what is my objective on becoming a parent? What is my purpose? What does parenting mean to me? And, of course, he gave the scripture, Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way that he or she should go, and then when he's old, he will not depart from it. But I liked it was a statement that he said, and I wrote this down because it was so profound to me. How am I teaching and training my girls? How am I teaching and training them in order to be launched from the family unit with great trajectory? Because no matter whatever I teach them, I'm propelling them into the world, and they're going to take into the world whatever it was that I taught them and showed them, because they're not just hearing my words, they're watching every single thing I do. And also in this lesson that we wind up, you know, hearing yesterday, it was no matter what, you cannot run your house, no matter how hard you try, what type of books you read, how efficiently and effectively can you run a house without guidance, direction, and instructions from God and from his word and from his instruction manual. I wound up just through some reading today, because I've been reading another book called The Laws of Success, but it points out that just the different areas, the different things that we don't do and the different things that we do and with our fears. A lot of times our fears, we don't realize a lot of times we can have a fear in making a decision. That's something that I wind up just reading today. We get so accustomed to not making a decision, or we become so afraid in the decisions that we've made in the past, that we set up the new habit of not making a decision. And we won't make a clear, decisive, constructive decision based on I'm afraid. You just stay in a state of panic and you go nowhere. You don't go to the left, you don't go to the right, you don't move forward, you don't even move backwards, you just do nothing. That's not his will for you either. One thing that I was able to see and realize for myself is that I've learned to recognize and use my past as a blueprint. It has become a blueprint for me. I've let my past become a classroom to me, and I've let it teach me, because I no longer want to I don't want my future to be a mirror image of my past. I absolutely do not want that. So I'm going to let this be a classroom. I'm going to let my past be a classroom so I'll know what not to do again. And I'll know those areas of when Tika wants to do this or Tika wants to do that, or I'm just kind of letting my ego fuel me. I'll know not to listen to that ego, and I'll realize that is not of God. That is not of his plan, because no matter what, God doesn't know a plan alien to his will. So if it's alien to his will, if it's just our plan and it's not his, what do we really expect to accomplish if we don't align with his will? We should stop pretending. We should stop believing lies, and we should stop ignoring the truth that's right before our eyes, his word, his manual, his blueprint, his instructions for life is right there before us in black and white. And you get so much out of the Bible. It's just not meant to be the book that you hear on Sunday. You take a few notes, you write down some scriptures, and you never go and research those scriptures. Those scriptures really are truly meant to set you free, because it teaches you what the truth is. We hear the saying and we grow up, everybody grows up hearing the truth is what sets you free. But do we know what comes before that's in the Bible or after that's in the Bible? Or do we know what he's truly meaning by that? One thing and one way you are able to decipher and understand the truth is with a renewed mind, with a right mind, with a mind that's functioning with and in right reason. And so it is the scripture, John 8:32, that says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But before that scripture is Jesus saying to his disciples and to the people who believe in him, if you're truly my disciples, you will remain faithful to my teaching, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if you want to be free, because that really is our choice. We all have a choice, and we can do it how we want to do it. We can sit back and say, okay, I want to be free in 10 years, or I want to be free in 10 days. It is completely up to you, but when you're functioning and dealing with a right mind, who would choose bondage over freedom? Who would choose isolation over victory? Who would choose seclusion over holding? Who would make these choices when you're dealing with the right mind? One thing I also read, this is a book that I've been reading called The Laws of Success, but I like the definition of the description it gives of moral and mental courage, and I want to read that. It says that moral and mental courage is a kind of courage that enables you to adhere without faltering to a determined course of action, which your judgment has indicated is the one that is best suited to secure the desired results for what you're trying to achieve. And so no matter what, when I was saying how sometimes we get stuck in not making a decision, we have to have courage to make decisions. And that courage is not in thinking, oh, I'm going to make the wrong one again, I'm going to do this again. When you make a decision to do something, and when you take that courage and that initiative to make a decision, it's easier to make a decision when you know you're taking steps in walking and wholeness versus taking steps just living any kind of way you want to live. If you're living any type of way you want to live, then, yeah, I would be afraid of the choices that I'm making. I would be afraid with some of my decisions, because pretty much you already know in the back of your mind where that is going. But when you are beginning to take those steps into walking right and doing right and living right because you want to be right, you want to feel right, you want to serve right because you know that that's what you were created for, when you begin to make and take those steps of confidence and take those steps of courage and you begin to have those more positive steps in your self-esteem, it says that you'll find times that in these actions you will have to make a decision. But no matter what, when you make a decision, when you begin to make decisions, do not back down or change that unless you see clearly manifested that it's a radically wrong decision. It's okay to begin making decisions because it's something I had to do. I was so afraid to choose again because all I told myself was, I've made so many mistakes, I don't want to make another one. I don't want to make another one. And then my panic became, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to make a mistake. But that's not living either. That is I went from one form of bondage to another form of bondage. And when I got rid of one, I created a new one for myself. And that is not what he's intended when he's saying for you to be set free. It means to sit back and let him drive the bus and you be the passenger. He will let you know what he wants you to do. He will let you know when he's needing you to take a step or sit still, or when you just need to marinate on his word. It says in Job, I learned this as well, Job 38 and 36, it says, it is God who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind. So if it's God who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind, why would we and why do I put full trust in me and full trust in my decision versus staying still, remaining at peace, reading his word, attending church, placing my responsibilities in order, because he's going to give me instructions on what it is he wants me to do. And then I will live a more peaceful life, and then I will be able to instill and be direction and guidance on my daughters, because me getting my life in order is for people's lives getting in order, because I have 3 daughters. And if I decide to stay out of order, they will imitate, and copy. They're going to copy me no matter what. It doesn't matter what I say. They're going to do what they see me do. So me getting my life in order, this is 4 lives that will be in order based on me making the conscious decision to accept a new mind and walk with that new mind. And it's not to say those old thoughts won't come back into your mind, because of course they're going to come there, because you know who doesn't want to see you succeed or stay on the right track. But no matter what, you got a choice whether you want to hear the nonsense or hear the lies. You don't have to hear it. And if you hear it, you can filter it out and choose what you want to listen to and what you don't want to listen to. If you want to use it to fuel your fire to push you forward, okay, use it to the best of your ability. But don't use and don't let that old you or those old voices that you may hear in your head, or that old defeat, or that those old negative words, or your past, bottom line, is something that has been pulled from your past. Don't allow it to trigger a negative mood. Don't allow it to trigger a setback in you, because that's what it's intended for. And setbacks do not have to define your future. That is clearly up to you what steps you want to take on getting there.
Now, I just refuse to believe that Tika and I are the only one that's been hurting our present with our past. No one's, I hope you guys are just listening and writing some stuff down, but share. If you're going to call in, please share with what you've gone through, or if you know someone that's been struggling, please, again, don't use names, but we have many callers out there, but you're just listening, and that's okay, too, but don't feel like, again, we're talking, and talking about it, it really does start the process to heal. And if you're not comfortable with coming on the air to talk about it, we're not Oprah, we're not all the others, so it's not like we have a million of people listening, and they don't know you. You don't have to say your name either. But if your choice is not to share tonight, then share with someone. Find you a person. Find someone that you can call an accountability partner. Or, like Erica said, find that person in your circle that you're able to go to with anything. I'm thankful that I have those people in my life. God truly has blessed me. Well, one has been in my life for quite a while, but this past year, the relationship has just blossomed to another level. And another one that came into my life, and I can really go to those two women with anything I feel like, and they will not judge me, they will pray for me, they will be honest with me, and more importantly, they are so honest and candid and open about their life, their struggles, their fears, their faults. They're not, although they seem perfect to me, they remind me over and over again, that's okay. Well, I went through this, and I did that. And so it doesn't make you feel like, again, isolated in your own stuff. because that's where Satan wants us to be. He wants you to stay down and feel like, well, why me? Well, why don't I have this kind of husband? Well, why don't my husband do this? Well, why don't my child do this? And why don't my child want to go to college? And why this? You forget about the whys and start, okay, what? What do we do? My child doesn't want to go to college. Okay, what is another plan that will allow him to succeed in life? Because, again, I think we spoke, college is not for everybody. And I'm just using some general scenarios. So Satan's plan is to get us to a point of isolation where our problem is so big and so different from anyone else's, and no one else has gone through it. No one will understand. But I promise you, if you find somebody like that in your life, like the two people that I shared, I mean, it just makes life okay. And again, not saying you can't take those things to God. I spoke about that a little bit earlier, and we should. But sometimes you just need to be in front of someone that can feel your pain, that you can look in the eye, and they have dialogue, conversation with you. So I challenge you to get those people in your life. And since we don't have callers, we're going to keep going. I'd like just to share one more story with you, and it's very quick. And then we'll sum it up and move on again, unless someone decides that they do want to come in and share about something that they've been holding on to. And I'm going to be very candid with this because I really don't want to just give any light of who this person is. But I have a friend that's going through something very, very difficult right now. And I had not talked to this friend in quite a while. And was able to do so because this person actually listened to a show. He sent a message saying that I'm going to listen to the show, and he did. So for me, it opened up the door to kind of ask some questions about why do you choose to go through what you're going through alone? And this person replied back, I've gone through my whole life alone. I did everything alone, all of my battles, basically. I've been alone in fighting them. I fought my whole life by myself. However, now, this person doesn't have to fight alone because there are people in his life that want to help him fight, that want to be there for him, that wants to be that, oh, gosh, that person to help pull them up, so to speak. But because they're so used to their past and no one being there, and sometimes it's not that no one's there, it's that we won't let anyone in. So that may not be the case for him because I don't know. But my point is what he said, I've always fought alone. But now he's in a situation where he doesn't have to because he's not alone. And again, like I said, there are people that want to be there, that want to help, sincerely want to help. But in his mind, he will not allow that because he's going by what he's always did, the way he's always had to do it. And I think that's so important because sometimes people, we tell people, well, most of the time I think we tell people how to treat us. We tell people or we make people believe what we want them to believe about us. And again, that's we're okay, nothing's wrong. My life is perfect. Whatever happens, you know, I'm okay. I can deal with it. And that's just not the case all the time. Even in the most perfect world, even when we think we got it together and we work, you know, on eliminating this, changing our mindset, we're going to have those days. We're going to have those days. But like we talked about last week, it's when those days come consistently and they last longer. And I think a result of that is because we hold so much in fear of sharing and allowing people to help us. And another thing, if we share more, then that's another opportunity for God's word to be carried out. It's another opportunity for God to come in and be glorified through what he does for that situation, how we come through that situation, who we are on the other side of that situation. Because sometimes it's not about what you go through, because we ought to be at a place to where our circumstances and our situations does not control the peace in our life. It's something about the peace of God is that it's just beyond. So that I just wanted to share that last story with you. And, again, we don't have anybody out, so I'm going to sum my part up on this, and then Tika, I guess, will come back and share her part as well with summing it up, and then we'll go from there. I just want to say, for those of you out there listening, and again, we still have time, so if you decide at the, well, we have someone, so we're going to bring her in. Okay, we have 678. I just want you to be able to give your own name if you want to, but we have 678, 9759 is the last four.
Hello.
You're on the air with us?
Hey. Hi, Tammy. Hey, Tika. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. This is Latasha, and I was kind of skeptical about coming on and talking, but Tammy, you said share, and I don't have a problem sharing, but this particular topic, I think I do, because Tika said happy. Right now, I am happy with my life, but I know I can be happier because I do know that it's something that I really want to do, and that is on my own dance studio. I love to dance. I'm very talented. I love to sing. I love to write poetry. The talent is there, and I say to myself, why are you not doing what you want to do? Why are you not, you know, dancing? Why are you not doing what it is that you love to do? What's your passion? For me, I can sing like a bird, but my passion is dancing. I love to dance, and I love to teach. I was teaching with this dance group here in Atlanta called the ATL Bum Squad, and I stopped there in 2007 for some other reason, and I haven't really been, you know, dancing hip-hop like I want to. I've been mostly doing a lot of gospel worship dance, but my heart and soul, my passion is dance, and I say to myself, what is stopping me from wanting to continue on to pursue that dream of mine? And the truth is fear. I feel like I'm going to be a failure. I feel like I'm going to fail at it. And I think it's because back in 2002, I left my job and I started my own business, which was permitting. And for people who don't know what permitting is, that's in order to build anything, you have to have a building permit, and that's the type of service I was running. And when it first got off, it was great, and then all of a sudden it just started going down. But happily, the company that I was working for before called me and asked me, you know, we know you don't want to do this, but we would really love to have you back, you know, even if it's just for a little while. Well, I went back in 2003, and I haven't left. I just recently been promoted, not once, but twice, with the company that I'm with right now, which is a construction company. And I do my job very well, and I'm happy, but I know I can be happier doing what I love to do, and that is dance. And that's my step back, that what's holding me back is fear. I know that. I can feel it. It's like, you know, you want to step out on faith. You say you have faith and you believe, and Lord knows I love the Lord, but it's just something that's just pulling me back that I just can't just, like, you know, step out. I don't know what it is. I want to know what it is. I ask God, I say, God, what it is that you have for me to do? Can you just, you know, I know what I want to do, but what it is that you have me to do, you know?
I want to just say this, and as you were talking, I mean, for me, it all led to fear, and that's common, I think, for all of us, particularly with stepping out and starting something that will determine your livelihood, and so to speak. So my thing would be, number one, you've acknowledged it. Well, let's back up. You know what your passion is. I feel that you're saying you know what your passion is. You know what you love to do. Okay, so that's out there. Number two, you said it's fear. You've acknowledged it's fear, and you've stated as to why you think you feel that way. Why the fear? Because you started something that didn't work out and so forth. A couple of things. I think about, when you think about fear, if this helps you at all, it may be a bad example, but I think about churches, chicken. I'm thinking talking chicken. You guys probably said this is going to be crazy, but do you guys realize how many restaurants we have, how many places that sell chicken that are successful? I think about in reading stories, sometimes it's good to read stories of how people have made their success and how many times they were told no, but they didn't give up. Burgers, Wendy's, Burger King, Hardee's, how many more can we have? And every time you turn around, they were building another one, or the lines are full. So what I'm saying is there's room, particularly there's room for God's people. God will make the room. He will open doors, like they say, that no one can close. And I am a total, I mean, God has did that for me in my life so many times. And there's still things that I, even with him doing that, that's still things that I want to do, and fear sets in. So you're not alone. What I would say is start with one person. Get your business plan together. Get all of your credentials together. You know, go get yourself checked out. So when you let people know, look, here's my record, I'm clean, you know, and start with one child. You can do a private dance lessons to start. Market yourself. Go to dance studios. Put your cards in there. Put your flyers in there. Word of mouth. Go volunteer at a dance studio. There's so many. If not, then start one in your church. To where I'm sure there are kids, or your community center. Go there and say, listen, you know, this is what I want to do. And if the community center has room for that, you go down and volunteer to do it while you are working on your 501c3 program to start something there. And that's, I'm so glad you shared it, because that's what we're trying, what I don't think we understand. And for my life, freeing myself from my bondage and my strongholds and my fears and my, and again, I'm not there. But the more I give up, the more I put to the side and say, I'm going on, I'm leaving you there, my mind is clearer on who I am, what I am, my desires, my dreams. I'm becoming a little bit less fearless in so many things. And so you said you're happy. Then work on that second. And again, there was just some examples of things you can start with. Write them down and then go for it. I would start with community center. I would start with putting a card together and go into dance studios and say, listen, can I volunteer? Do you know any young girls that would want to take dance lessons that can afford it? And sometimes I heard Michael Bazin say, sometimes you have to do what you love free for a minute so that people will know that you love it.
Can I share? I want to share something. Go ahead,
Tika.
Well, I want to share something about with Latasha talking about this being something that she still feared. Tasha, one thing, fear, F-E-A-R. See these four letters as false evidence appearing real. Because you know, I know you know the Bible, and I know you are a Christian woman, so you know that God didn't give you that spirit of fear. So you already know that that's from the enemy. And Ephesians 6 and 11 says to put on the full armor of God, so that you can take a stand against the devil's scheme, so you can take a firm stand against the strategies that he will bring against you. And no matter what, you put on that armor and you realize that fear doesn't come from him. This is something that's been made new to me as well, because whatever we fear, we run from. Think about it. Mm-hmm. It will be a fear for the rest of your life. We run from our fears. But what if we were to take a whole new look and a whole new approach with the fear? How about you run to the fear? You can run into the fire because you have on his armor. You have his armor on. You won't get burned. Run to that fear. Run right to it. Take it head on. Conquer it. You can win, and you can conquer that fear, because fear, what I'm real, I realize now that my fears that I ran from, once I finally had to face them, they weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. I just had it made up in my head so huge that it was about to keep me from doing what I knew I needed to do. But my biggest fear was being a single mother. And now that I'm here, it's not even half, it's not even a fourth as bad as what I thought it would be, because God is my provider. He is my strength. He is my protector. He is my deliverer. He is my everything. So it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be, because I thought that I had to be my everything. But he is. So you put on the full armor of God and you run to your fear. Run straight to it. Jump into it, because you know the fire purifies you. Fire doesn't do anything to us but strengthen us. Think of the fire that you already come from. Did you come out weaker or stronger? If you came out stronger through the fire you've already come through, then the next fire you see, you say, come on, bring it on, and you run to the fire. Run and dive in. Right. Look at that fire in a totally different, new frame of mind, and that fire will not be as scary, especially when you know you have his armor on. What can that fire do to you?
In other words, I'm thinking, saying that remember whose daughter you are. Remember your creator. And once you realize and you know that what God's word promises us, and there's so many things. And I know Tiki used to laugh at me so much because I haven't had a chance to say this to her because she's in Texas, that I feel like I'm President Obama's daughter, only I'm greater because they call me Chelsea and Malia, whatever. But I feel like when I walk in the room or wherever, that people should know who I belong to. Just like back in the day, you could tell to me a teacher. You could tell a teacher and a Christian. To me, they used to be in. You just knew they were either a Christian or a teacher to me back then. Mm-hmm. So I want to get to that place in my life where people know my walk with Christ. Just from entering the room, that you bring the presence of God in with you, and that takes obedience. We don't get a lot of preaching. I thank God that I heard a preaching on obedience a couple of weeks ago. But you know, we need to. Tika mentioned that earlier about we have to do some things or let go some things that we want to hold on to, the things that we want to do, and so forth. But Tasha, we're looking forward to hearing what you do on that. We want to hear that you have at least one young girl that you are teaching dance lessons to. So that's a great way to start. Okay. We have a lot of kids that cannot afford dance lessons. So start there. It's your time, but it's time well spent because it's something that you love to do.
To also realize that if there's something that you dive into and this is something you want to get started and you see some obstacles that come in your way, no, the devil's going to always place some obstacles. It doesn't mean, oh, I should have just left this alone. No, it means you keep on moving through that fire. But most of all, realize if something is telling you to stop, know that when you feel delayed, God's delay is not a denial. That just means that he needs to strengthen you for something else because you don't know what that may bring. I'm realizing now that through my divorce and then everything I've done, I see him now trying to strengthen me because I'm a very sensitive person. I can drop at the drop of a dime. I mean, you put on a Bambi or a Disney cartoon, I'm crying. I can cry at a commercial. I'm a very sensitive person. But God needs me to be a little bit stronger than what I am right now because he's really trying to instill in me leadership skills. And leaders don't cry at the drop of a dime. I need to be able to get a better handle on my emotions. It's nothing wrong with crying, but in order for me to lead, what am I going to lead? How can I lead anyone? How can I lead my daughters if they see me crying at the drop of a dime or if they see me crying when I'm faced with any type of challenge? No, I have to show them that in this challenge, they're going to see their mom persevere because they're going to go out and persevere in their challenge. So don't see a delay as a denial. You take those steps to get you in that direction. And if you feel any type of resistance makes us stronger as well. You let that resistance continue to strengthen you. And then if it's moving a little bit slower than you want it to, just know that you're being grown. You're being developed through this growing process. It's only developing you. But his delay is not his denial. We see it as that. We see it that way because this is what we want. But if this desire is something that's in you, seeds of desire is what God planted in us anyway.
Wow.
So just know that whatever resistance you're faced, whatever type of resistance you're faced with, it's something in you that needs to, it needs to be molded. It needs to grow. He's the potter. So he's going to mold you in a way that's going to make you strong enough to handle that area of life or that choice or that decision to have that dance studio or to be that dance teacher, leader, instructor.
Right.
It's a whole
okay.
lot more in you that needs to be developed. So he's developing you. Just know that he's developing
right.
you, but you got to keep his armor on. You have to keep his
All
armor
right.
on.
And
okay.
don't, like I said, don't expect that just because we step out in our passion and our purpose. I think sometimes we step out and we think that it's all going to be, like Tika was said, it's all going to be perfect and glorious and glamorous. And sometimes
right.
there has to be some bumps and bruises in the road, because I think when you're on a mission for God and you're fulfilling your purpose and that God is going to fulfill everything in your life or those things in your life that are his will, that he's going to have to stop sometimes because there's some lessons to be taught. There's some lessons to be learned through you and through what you do. So you have to be prepared by, like Tika said, keeping on the armor of God, because when it comes time to stop or get off road for a bit, look at those times as times that you're able to help people grow. You know, to look at Miss Peggy, I love the way she just said, she used to talk about stagecoach. She looked at, sometimes she said, I feel like God's telling me, okay, get off right here because there's work to be done. I'm going to get you back on the train. We're going to keep moving. But right now, get off, because there's someone here that needs you. There's a lesson needs to be taught here. So remember that as you go through the course of putting this together, and look for the no's, and think about how many times people were told no. You know, when you think about KFC, I think it was probably the first one. I think I heard the story where they said they told them, "Who do you think you're gonna buy enough? You're gonna sell chicken every day? That's all." And now look what we have. So
mm-hmm.
many more. But he was like, "Yeah, I am," you know, and mm-hmm. did. So think of it that way. You know, there's so many avenues out there, and hopefully we've helped you and gave a few. And just to add another, you know, if there's some deprived areas, schools in your, I'm sure there's deprived, you know, communities and environments all over. So think about starting pulling those together. I told you about the Pepsi Refresh. If for those of you who are listening and trying to start some things, that Pepsi Refresh has been going on for a couple of years, and it still is. So what they do is you submit your idea out there, and you get people to go and vote for you. But there's first, second, third, you know, place winners. So that's another avenue. Just start it. The funds will come. Start it with faith and be prepared to do the work. Be prepared to receive the no's and say, okay, take the no's as power. Take the no's as gasoline. And like Tika said, rejection to me is God protection sometimes, most times to me. When you're in line with God and God, you're doing what you're supposed to do, rejection is going to come, and it should. And think of it as, okay, wasn't for me, wasn't the time for it, keep moving. But
right.
thank you for sharing, and like I said, we're going to challenge you. We're going to call you on the show next time and say, okay, who are you teaching? Who's your first student?
Okay.
So start on that. Thank you for sharing as always. And we will connect. I need to get you your book, The CEO to the Power of You, and read that. And if mm-hmm. you don't mind committing uh-huh. to being one of the people who will share what it did for you and how it changed your life and what things that you applied because of that book. I think it's perfect timing for what you are about to start.
All right.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you,
guys.
All right. You're welcome. I'll be just real quick. I just wanted to say just a few things to take away from the show. Remember that change starts with you. with your decision to acknowledge that you need change in your life. And so it starts with you. Happiness, just as unhappiness, is a choice. Remember, we gave you some scenarios of how you really do make a choice to be in control when you want to. We're different for the most part at church. People, I won't say we are, you know, people are different at church, at work, at school, at home, around their children's teachers. You know, you can, you are whoever you are, like the army. You be who you want to be when you're around, depending on who you're around. So you do have control whether you choose to call on that control. I think we do when we want to. So remember, you can control your thoughts of unhappiness and happiness. Not saying you don't need help and need to talk to people from time to time and go through it, but you, if you think of it that way, you really do have more control than you think. Get rid of the negative past. Let it be your gasoline, your fuel to move forward. The negative life, you know, it's done. I'm over. I'm too old for change. I did too much. The people in your life, be mindful of what they think, how they think, and what they talk about, and what you allow to put into your spirit. So those are the things that I wanted to share. Thank you guys for listening, and Tika's going to take it over.
Okay. I mentioned earlier that I was giving a few quotes through the book called The Laws of Success, but I didn't give the author, and that author is Napoleon Hill. But I wanted to end the show with saying, it says that every time you change your plans, when you make a decision, you need to stand firm and have the courage to make a firm decision. Whenever you choose to make a firm decision, see it through. No matter what, you may be faced with feelings of doubt, tempted to change it because different feelings that you may be having or with something that, you know, people may be saying, but don't be tempted to change it until you can clearly see manifested that this first choice is radically wrong. And I also want to end with what he has to say about courage. Courage is the firmness of spirit, that moral background, which while fully appreciating the danger involved, nevertheless goes on with the undertaking. You may be cold all over. Your hands may be trembling. Your legs may quake. Your knees may be ready to give way. That's fear. Of course that's fear. But nevertheless, go forward. Despite this physical defection, you continue to move forward. Stay courageous. Be courageous. Do not buckle down and give way to fear. Continue to move forward. I want to thank you for tuning in to another
week. Before you end it, since we got about a minute or so left, I forget this every time, and I don't want to keep doing this because I want to give the proper credit due. The books that I used, The Power of Letting Go, and that's by Pam Redfillet. Okay, so The Power of Letting Go, and it's 10 Simple Steps to Reclaiming Your Life. That's where I read a lot from. And then From Panic to Power, From Panic to Power by Lucinda Bassett, and When Your Past is Hurting Your Present, that's by Sue Augustine. So I forget to do that a lot, and not in no way I mean to, but I just wanted to share those. And again, if you ever want to get the names of anything that we look up or any sites, please let us know, and we'll get that to you at any time. And you can just come on the show, select number one, and we'll tell you during the next show if you want. We have 60 seconds left. I just want to say thank you guys for listening. And Tika, sorry to butt in, but I wanted to get that out because I forget to give credit to those writers because a lot of the words, the things that I learned come from books. And I challenge you, for those of you who don't read and you have idle mind, turn off the TV and read some. It really does allow you to have conversation with people you would never meet, run across. It allows you to visit places that you'll never visit or may never visit. So start reading. Pick up a book. Tika, we got like 35 seconds. So.
Okay. Just want to say the self-confidence is the result of exact knowledge and the ability to impart that knowledge. So there is no substitute for accurate knowledge. Thank you for tuning in to another week of Butterfly Evolution. We'll see you again next Monday. God bless you.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.